Hello all, my name is Juicy Pat Lucy, and you are listening to episode 27 of The Juicy Details. It's still Perm Month. I'm not going to say what that means again. If you want to know, listen to a past episode. There's plenty of them. Anyways, today I have a promoter on, and he's going to discuss his promotion, he's going to discuss his wrestling career, because he's also a full-time professional wrestler. So, without rambling on, I'm going to get him on and get episode 27 a go. Joining me right now for episode 27 of The Juicy Details, All Ego, Ethan Page. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing good.
Yeah, you had a busy weekend, right? You worked in... Do you debut for two companies, I believe? IWC in Pittsburgh and Dragon Gate USA in New York. Tell me about your weekend.
It was a lot of driving. Like, a lot. It was, I think, 6.5 to 7 to Pittsburgh, and then 7.5 to New York, and then 8.5 home. It's just craziness. It was all worth it, and the experience was awesome. And, like, both shows were great. I ended up being, like, super special at Dragon Gate USA. Like, the crowd was, I don't know, it was, like, electric in that shitty-ass rundown building, but it was pretty cool.
Did you get the sense that you might be returning to either of the promotions anytime soon?
IWC, I already have dates in my calendar. Dragon Gate, I got, like, good feedback, and they were happy with me, but I don't have anything locked in yet, so.
Well, I hope nothing for the best for you.
Thanks, man.
Well, let's get right into the actual interview. I have a couple of questions. First question I always ask is, to my guests, are how did you become a fan of professional wrestling?
When I was, like, a kid, my dad would always watch it, and I would always watch it with him on Sundays. And what happened was, I was a big fan until one King Kong Bundy promo came on TV, and it scared the shit out of me, and I stopped watching wrestling.
King Kong Bundy, huh?
Yeah, it was really weird. And then stopped watching, went to school, I think in, like, grade 8, started backyard wrestling with, like, a bunch of kids. I went to school there, and I started watching wrestling all over again. And then fell in love with The Rock, and I've been hooked ever since.
It sounds like you were more of a WWF kid instead of WCW.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I watched, like, one episode of Nitro, and I saw Booker T, and I was like, why does that guy have, like, that thing on his nose? He looks like an idiot. And then I stopped watching WCW.
I did always question that, too, the Herman Heat. Was that, like, sports tape around their nose? I never got that.
So they can breathe better, but, like, man, Booker T's got the biggest nostrils in the world. I think he needs, like, a breathe strip on his nose.
Good point. And then let's jump forward. How did you end up becoming a professional wrestler? Where did you get your training from?
I trained in this place in Hamilton, Ontario, under Ernie Moore. He supposedly was, like, one of the executioners in, like, WWF, but I have no proof of this. I just paid $80 a month for, like, 3 months to learn how to wrestle, and then I quit because I thought I was awesome, and I started traveling with, like, Michael Elgin to IWA Mid-South, and then, I don't know, I kind of learned the hard way that it'll take you longer to figure your shit out if you do it on your own, but I did it on my own.
Well, let's talk about IWA Mid-South. I know you worked a couple shows, in 2006 or 2007. What was it like working for Ian Ron? What was the locker room atmosphere like? Do you have any Ian Ron stories of your own?
It was okay. It's like for IWA Mid-South. It was cool for me because I was such a, like, huge fan of so many of, like, their events and, like, guys that started out in IWA Mid-South, and, like, even just with me, like, if you think about it, Michael Elgin started out in IWA Mid-South. He was an IWA Mid-South guy, and now look where he is, too. So, I don't know. And Ian, like, I guess, I wouldn't say, have any weird stories. Like, I stayed at his house a bunch, and, like, he tried to force me to smoke weed a bunch of times, but I don't know, I don't give in to peer pressure. I just thought it was a really, like, awkward way of living that they had, and, like, the house was, it was a bunch of fucking stoner weirdos, and I just wasn't really into that, so I kind of just slept on the couch and drove Elgin home the next day. But, I don't know. Like, I got stiffed, I guess. And guy tried to, like, give me heat one triple shot weekend because I went to go see a movie with, like, all the wrestlers instead of, like, help set up his ring or buy him McDonald's or something like that. I have no idea. I don't know. He's a weirdo. I still don't like him to this day because I went to a show, like, 3 years after I did IWA Mid-South. And he was like, "Hey, Ethan Page, nice to see you." And I was like, "Hello, Ian." And he's like, "Oh, can you just carry in my merchandise?" And I'm like, "Yeah, no, this isn't your fucking show, buddy. You can carry that shit in on your own."
Man, why would he do that?
I don't know. It's Ian Rotten.
Ian Rotten. That's probably the most logical explanation. Well, let's jump forward again. I want to talk about my home promotion, AIW. I want to know, how did you get started in AIW? I remember you debuted in a pre-show match against Eric Bryan for Girls Night Out. And then how did it transition from that into full-time to what it is today?
Janet Blake was booked, and she, among 100 other pro wrestlers, doesn't have her license or doesn't drive.
Thank God.
Yeah, right? Thank God for me. And,
No, I mean, I thought I was one of the only ones who didn't.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, this is like a normal thing.
I mean, I'm not a pro wrestler, but yeah, I don't have my license either. But it's good to know a lot of people don't, so.
Yeah, but you're not like trying to be like a fucking traveling act.
Good point.
So, she needed a ride. I said, sure. She asked if they would give me a dark match. They said sure. I wrestled Eric Ryan. It went good. Gabe pulled a bunch of guys from the tournament. They contacted me. Jen Blake is coming again. Ethan Page is coming again. Yada, yada, yada. Here we go. Bang. Done.
And then what was it like? I remember hearing a story that it was Absolution 6 you were booked again, and Silesia was booked as your valet, but before that event, you never actually met her, or you didn't really know her that well.
So, I met her before.
Yeah.
I've been on a lot of shows with her. I just really didn't talk to her, because she would be too busy like playing Bejeweled on her phone, and she was like a really shitty human being at wrestling shows because she didn't understand like the camaraderie between like wrestlers. She would just kind of do her own thing and ignore everyone. It's very like disrespectful. So I didn't like her very much. And then, once she started doing AIW and Ring of Honor, she like opened up a lot and she became pretty cool. And like now she's like the crazy psycho sleazy as she is today, I guess. But before she was like an introvert. It was really weird.
So, yeah, so you worked with AIW for the past 2 years now. Overall, what do you think of the promotion, and where do you think it's heading?
I think it's awesome. They're, like, going in the right direction, which is up, more success for them. Every show gets better. They're always upping the ante and making their product as good as possible. And, like, I can't do anything but support what they're doing. So, like, if they gave me every opportunity, I don't know, the more success I have, the more eyes I can bring to them as like a payback, I guess, because I don't think I would have had anything without AIW for sure.
No, I agree. I agree with you, man. AIW is a place to be right now. It's no doubt one of the best independent promotions out there today, especially in the Midwest. So if you're looking for professional wrestling in the Midwest, come to Cleveland.
Yep.
Another Midwest promotion that's been rising through the ranks over the years is AAW in Illinois, and you've been working with them for the past couple months too. You and Alexander, and now you and Elgin are a tag team, and I believe you're the tag champs, right?
Yep, tag team champs.
Yeah, so what's it like been working, with them and working in the Berwyn Eagles Club?
The Berwyn Eagles Club is like one of my favorite venues. Like once it's dressed up and they got the lights and the banners and the entrance and all that mumbo jumbo set up, it's freaking awesome. And for some reason, like, I think they only pack in like 250, 300, but like it's such a tight squeeze that the noise this crowd can make, I don't know if it's the acoustics or whether the only people that show up are that like really loud, enthusiastic fans. But it, like, you can get a really, really cool, like, body buzz while you're wrestling from how like into it the crowd gets. It's pretty cool.
Oh, no, I agree. I think it's the latter with the fans. I was there for one AAW show in May, and yeah, the Berwyn Eagles Club is definitely on the top of my favorite venues.
Oh yeah.
Like, no offense to Turner's Hall in Cleveland, but I think Berwyn Eagles has a slight advantage over them.
Yeah, because they wash everything.
Again, excellent points. Now let's jump ahead, and the reason I have you on is because you're a promoter yourself, and I'm talking about Alpha One up in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Well, my first question about it is, how did it come about? How did you start up Alpha One?
I was wrestling for like $5 at a bar for this company that only booked their friends. And me and my buddies actually like wrestling, and we would actually try and have like the best matches. So I thought, well, this guy's drawing like 60 people and he's giving them literally the shittiest wrestling of all time. Why don't I start my own company, book guys that I think are good, and put out the wrestling that I think is entertaining and like awesome, and put out a like an American indie product, which is not like hasn't been done in my hometown. And yeah, so I just went out and I did it, and I booked all the guys that I thought were the best, and it turned out to be success.
Was it tough for you starting out?
Not really, to be honest. Like I swindled some sponsors, a lot of the guys helped support it. It had a really cool hype about it just because of like the different name it had. And like, I'm a good video editor, so I would put out like video packages to advertise the wrestlers that were debuting. And I had like a fresh crop of guys. Like I had like Brody Lee on the first show and the Super Smash Brothers. And like at the time, this was unheard of for like someone to have, like indie names come down for like small indie shows.
So, what kind of booking philosophies do you have towards Alpha One? Like, do you have any standards you want to live by when booking an Alpha One show?
Yeah, if you can't give a reason to the fans to come back to the next show, then you didn't book the show properly.
Couldn't agree more.
Like, it doesn't have to be some, like, crazy cliffhanger where, I don't know, Jimmy Jacobs has, like, Jay Briscoe hanging upside down, bleeding all over his face. Like, you can't do like shit like that every event, but you can progress a story and make people want more, or even give them a match that they want to see again, or announce that the next event there's going to be a debut for somebody that people would want to see. There just always has to be one reason that they say, yeah, this isn't going to be the last time I'm here.
So you want to bring the fans back each and every time. You want to give them the best product. And, you know, like with AIW, you want to just keep making the shows better with every passing show.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there was a time, it was, I believe Alpha One was absence, was almost, like, dead for a year. Can you talk about that, when what happened, what led to it?
Yeah, what happened was I got robbed at a charity event. They stole our brand new camera, my Dre Beats headphones, brand new microphone, mic stand, tripod. It was terrible. It was just a terrible situation. And, yeah, I lost a shitload of money on the show too, because it was in the summer on a weekend and it was a huge double shot tournament and it sucked. It was just a terrible situation. So I just decided, well, what am I going to do this for if people are just going to steal from me? So I just shut it down.
Did you ever find out who stole it?
No, still haven't found that. Still haven't found the camera. So.
Well then, what made you decide to return after a year or so?
Well, what actually happened was someone offered to buy Alpha One, and I sold it. And when it came time for them to pay, they backed out, typical pro wrestling style. So once they backed out, I felt like an idiot because I already announced that Alpha One would come back thanks to, like, a buyer. And, like, people were happy about it, and they were supportive, and they wanted it back. So once the guy backed out, I felt like such a fucking dickhead that, like, I gave the fans what they wanted, that I didn't want to take it back away from them. So I just decided to run my own show.
And do you think it, since then, it's worked out for you?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't really like running shows now, to be honest with you. It's just too much of a hassle for me. But I don't know. I feel good that there's something in my, like, community that people could be proud of and, like, come out to every 2 months, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, I admit, I myself have never seen an Alpha One show yet, but if you can give one recommendation, one DVD, one show that fans like myself who've never seen the promotion, one show that I should buy that really defines what Alpha One's about, what would it be and why?
Oh, man. I'd have to say, there was a show called Immortal Kombat.
That's a good title.
Yeah, if you could pick that one up, that's a good one.
What kind of matches took place at the show? Do you remember?
Yeah, we had Tommy Dreamer and a tag team gauntlet. That was really cool. Our main event was a title match with Josh Alexander defending against a guy locally named Mike Rollins. And just, like, the crowd was so behind Mike Rollins, and, like, it was just, like, one of those, like, electric moments again. Everyone rushed the ring, and it was really cool. With Dreamer on commentary, and it's just a really cool, like, complete package. We had Jimmy Jacobs on the card, Brody Lee versus Cheech on the card. It was just a, like, really good show, top to bottom.
Well, where do you see the future of Alpha One? Where do you see it going into 2014?
We have, like, dates set. We have a coming show in March, and then we have May 11th, I believe. And then after that, I think we're just going to do our big show in October. And then I kind of think we're just going to do an annual thing, like one show a year, to be honest with you. Just like where my career is going now, it's getting tough to, like, be able to focus on things that aren't just for me. So whether it's selfish or not, it's just my time is better spent focusing on my own career, I guess.
No, I don't think that's selfish at all. You know, you gotta do what's best for you, best for your career, you know, and I don't think anyone should really blame you for wanting to go that path.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the last thing I want to do here on the podcast is something I just introduced last week with Derek Sabato. It's Word Association.
So, okay.
I'm going to name off eight names, eight guys that you've worked with over the last couple of years, and I want you to say the first word that pops in your head about them.
First word? All right.
And if you would like to tell a story about them, by all means, you can. I'm not going to hold you back.
Okay.
First name is Davey Vega.
Davey Vega. He's going to be good. He's going to be really good. Like, he's so talented now. I just think once he gets, like, he gets that confidence, because I think he's, like, still losing weight, and he'll hit a point where his confidence will be so high that, like, it'll, like, illuminate to the audience, and then it'll take him to the next level. Like, he'll be doing this for years, like, wrestling, for sure.
Well, that was more than one word, but that's a good answer.
You didn't want to be like weight loss. Like, that would be terrible. I would never say that about somebody who's awesome.
Okay, good point. Next name, Colin Delaney.
Happy-go-lucky. I'll say that.
Next one, Johnny Wave, also known to AIW fans as Ty Cone.
A terrible driver.
Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, he almost killed me. He almost fucking killed me. We're just driving along, and this motherfucker all of a sudden decides that it's Last Action Hero, and he's going to fucking tip the car. So, yeah, me, this guy, Brent Banks, Alex Vega, and Ty Colton almost fucking died. Almost fucking died. I didn't speak to them for the first, like, hour. I was just kept repeatedly saying, how the fuck did that happen? How the fuck did that happen? It was shitty.
Has he gotten any better at driving?
Oh, we'll see this weekend. Fuck yeah.
Okay, next name, Lewis Linden.
Oh, bright future.
Again, couldn't agree with you more. Ricochet.
Hilarious.
Hilarious?
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
Leah Von Dutch.
Wholesome.
Wholesome?
Yeah, I'll say wholesome.
Alright. Jimmy Jacobs.
Weird.
Weird?
He's a weird guy. Like, some days you can bump into him and he's in a great mood. Some days you can bump into him, he's in a really weird mood. I don't know. He's a guy that no one will ever figure out. I think that's what he wants, though. I think he wants to be, like, his own thing. Like, I can't even explain it to you. I like him. I think he's hilarious, and he's a cool dude. And I like that he has everyone, like worked like this. But, like, no one can figure this guy out.
So you're saying he's mysterious?
Sure, I guess.
All right, last name, Michael Elgin.
Work ethic, I'll say that.
Where are you standing on the debate on if he should shave off his mullet or not?
I say no. Don't shave off that mullet. What are you talking about? Hell no.
No, really, he shouldn't. I think that it's what is one of the things that defines him, the mullet.
It's fucking awesome. First of all, this mullet wasn't a big deal a couple years ago. People weren't talking about his mullet. He was just this badass wrestler guy. But now everyone's talking about him. Who cares? Who cares? It's a mullet. And he's pulled it off for so many years. Think about that. How the hell did this guy pull off a mullet for so many years? It's ridiculous.
Nothing short of a miracle.
No shit.
Well, Ethan, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything you would like to say to end the show? Anything you'd like to plug? Do you have, I believe there's an Alpha One show coming up next month. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, it's, March 16th. You can go to alpha-onewrestling.com or at A1Wrestling on Twitter. We got Chuck Taylor coming in, Dasher Hatfield, Pinky Sanchez, Mr. Touchdown. It's a stacked show. I'm there. Obviously, a big deal now. And, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic show. March 16th, get the info online. Also, my Pro Wrestling Tees website, prowrestlingtees.com/EthanPage. And my Twitter's at EthanPage89.
Sounds good. Ethan, again, thank you so much for coming on, talking with us for a bit.
No problem.
And thank you all for listening to the Juicy Details. I hope you come back next time and listen to another episode.